Innocent Graves by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson. The night it all began, a thick November fog rolled down Swainsdale and enfolded the town of Eastvale in its shroud. And it seemed at its thickest in the graveyard of St. Mary's Church, where a beautiful woman with long auburn hair, barefoot and drunk, a wine glass full of Pinot Noir held precariously in her hand, weaved her way between the squat, gnarled yews and lichen-stained stones. Ahead of her, out of the fog, loomed the Inchcliffe Mausoleum, marble and massive, its steps overgrown with weeds. But it was the angel she'd come to see. She liked the solid marble angel, with its chipped wings, its eyes fixed on heaven, its hands clasped together in prayer. Swaying slightly, she raised her glass to it.
"Hello, Gabriel," she said. "I'm sorry. I've sinned again."
Then she saw something black and white sticking out from behind the mausoleum. Curious, she stumbled towards it. It was, she realized, a white sock and a black shoe, with a foot still in it. She tottered to the back of the tomb, screamed, and dropped her glass, which shattered on stone. Then Rebecca Charters, wife of the vicar of St. Mary's, fell to her knees and began to vomit. Dr. Glendenning, tall and grey-haired, cigarette dangling from his mouth, shook his head slowly, then got to his feet and massaged his knees.
"I'm getting too old for this sort of thing, Banks."
Detective Chief Inspector Alan Banks looked down at the body and felt the familiar clenching in his stomach that murder always brought. The girl, about 15 or 16 by the look of her, lay on her back in the long grass behind the huge Victorian sepulchre, upon which stood a marble statue of an angel. The girl's eyes were staring into the fog, her long blonde hair fanned out around her head like a halo, and her face had a reddish-purple hue. There was a small cut by her left eye, and a trickle of blood, the shape of a large teardrop, ran out of her left nostril. Her maroon St. Mary's School blazer lay bunched on the ground beside her. Her white blouse had been ripped open, and her bra had been removed. Her skirt, too, had been pulled up to reveal her thighs and pubic region. Her long legs lay open, and her white socks were down around her ankles. To Banks, there seemed an arranged quality about her posture, and he felt the urge to cover her, imagining her shame at being so exposed. But she was beyond shame now. Beside her lay an open satchel, whose strap had come free of the metal ring at one end. Using his pen, Banks pushed back the flap and read, "Deborah Catherine Harrison, 28 Hawthorne Close, Eastvale, North Yorkshire, England, UK, Europe, Earth, the Solar System, the Milky Way, the Universe, Space." He smiled sadly to himself. He'd done the same thing at school. But why should the satchel be open, he wondered. Had someone been looking for something? Glendenning directed one of his underlings to take oral, vaginal, and anal swabs, and together with Banks moved away, beyond the canvas screen the Soccos had erected around the body.
"So, what do you make of it?" said Banks.
"Well, judging by the marks on her throat, I'd say asphyxia due to ligature strangulation. That satchel strap probably fits the bill. There are traces of blood on the edge where it broke the skin."
"Time of death?"
"Not more than 2 or 3 hours ago."
Banks looked at his watch. 8 o'clock. So, between 5 and 6.
"Was she killed here?" "Aye, almost certainly. And whoever did it was pretty strong. The strap bit deeply into the flesh, and a good few inches taller than the victim, too, I'd say. The wound is deeper at the bottom, the way it would be if you were pulling a leather strap upwards."
"When can you get her on the table?"
"In the morning."